I was just making sure I was right, because that's really fucking important.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk all about Mad Max Fury Road. We do spoil the movie a lot, if you can spoil a movie that's mostly about people driving and blowing up cars.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
What up?
And we are here to talk about a movie, but not just any movie. We're here to talk about Mad Max Fury Road.
I refuse to participate in this. Or that.
Bang, bang.
Cars.
Kaboom.
Guns.
Right.
That's the guitar guy.
It's so, they correctly identified it as an action movie, or action scene, maybe.
As much as one can spoil this film, I'm going to warn you that we will spoil the film at this point.
You're going to spoil it.
It's been out for a couple of weeks by the time you listen to this episode, so you've had lots of opportunity to watch it. If you haven't watched it, I can highly recommend it.
Yeah, dude, it's so good.
It's amazing.
Honestly, I went in expecting nothing other than something gorgeous, and I got, what was the word, decadent.
Just decadent
action. Love all the Mad Max movies, and it did not disappoint.
It's probably the best action movie I've seen in, I don't know, years.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I said to Pat after the movie, I was like, what made the movie work for me was it was such confident movie making. Watching this film and you feel like Miller knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew exactly how he wanted to do it and never had ever a moment of doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you have a moment of doubt if like 10 minutes into the film, you're going to have a dude with a flame-throwing guitar?
Yeah. Who's in like a bungee underwear thing, so he's just bouncing on the car, truck-saurus deal that's happening.
And you're never for a second going to intimate that it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it's like, I think all the Mad Max movies are George Miller written and directed, right? I think that's
the case.
I know he wrote. Look that up while you're saying it.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's the case. After Thunderdome, which was 30 years ago. That's how much of a gap we had between Mad Max movies. It was 79, 81, 85, 2015.
Oh, man.
And that's more like 2015.
Thank you. Look at that. Hey, everybody.
And so he just had an idea one day and started writing another Mad Max movie, and now he thinks he has enough material to do 3 Mad Max movies, one of which is already done. And
Fury
Road. And he described one of the other movies that he has written as the Furiosa movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because this wasn't the Furiosa movie.
So if you've seen the preview but you haven't seen the actual movie, I don't know why you're still listening to us, but that is the Charlize Theron character.
Yeah.
Her name is, I don't remember what her first name is. It's something Furiosa. It's like Empress Furiosa. It's something.
Imperator.
Like, what?
I think it's Imperator.
Imperator Furiosa.
Which
I think Imperator is a title.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. Miller has done all 4 Mad Max movies. The thing I like about it is it's sort of simultaneously a reboot.
I've heard is that it's a revisiting, not a reboot. It's a revisiting. And I read this really great. So friend of the show, Mark Sherman, who was on for our Daredevil episode.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. He sent us this link that was talking about how it had a total like clickbait title, like this fan theory for Mad Max will make you need to see it again. But basically it's saying the kid in
the feral kid
in Road Warrior has a music box and all that. Is the theory is that kid grows up to be Tom Hardy's character, who is calling himself hesitantly Max Rokitansky, even though he, because they're asking what his name is, he's never very confident. And granted, Tom Hardy's kind of got that kind of quiet, unassuming guy thing down. So maybe it was just meant to be, you know, part of his Tom Hardy deal.
So when he says his name is Max at the end, it's like the point at which he decides.
Right. Yeah. That's, right. Yeah. Like, who are you?
Yeah. He has Max to give a name. And the little music box, which is Max's music box, that mesmerizes the feral kid.
Yep.
That music box makes an appearance in the cab of the big rig war truck.
Yeah.
With the freed slave chicks are playing with the music box at one point.
Huh. So,
about it, because I don't think it's, who cares if it's right or not? It's fun to think about.
Yeah. I've mentioned this to a couple other people. This is an odd sentence to say, but the kid who is the war boy, the main war boy.
Yeah.
That's Knox. What?
The character is Knox.
Knox.
Yeah.
That's Nicholas Holt.
Yep.
Kid's acting since he was about 8 years old, because he's the kid from About a Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was Gins, series one and two.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
He was in Warm Bodies. He plays R.
Yep.
He was in...
just say Romeo. Come on. I mean, we all...
I know. He's in... he's Beast in X-Men. Uh-huh. He's an amazing actor, and I have, like, I'm serious, like, it's kind of like with Dakota Fanning, I'm like, that kid's gonna be fucking famous. Like, she's gonna be famous. Yeah. She's an amazing actress.
I don't know if you want to say, like, semiotics of him becoming more human and the like, powder dust that the war boys
the
are...
stuff, like...
Yeah, that kind of wearing off as he's kind of like coming to and becoming one of this escaped group.
He's also out of the sun, so he's getting sun too on top of it.
It's just kind of neat that, I mean, it was transparent, but I still enjoyed.
Well, I like that all the characters, critical that Max doesn't say much, but Max never does.
Yeah.
That's the point of the character.
He's for what's happening, but frequently is not really the driver of the action.
Yeah, yeah.
Things are happening around him. Are either of you familiar with Golgo 13?
No.
It's a Japanese anime, contract killer, sniper, assassin. The books and movies are very little to do with him and more to do with who he's killing and who has hired him. And this assassin is kind of not important to the plot.
Cool.
It's really the stories are about who he's killing, why, who hired him.
Right.
I feel like Mad Max is very similar. 79 movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The one that everyone forgets exists because people always think the Road Warrior was the first one. I did anyway. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's different than the other three.
Yeah.
Very different than the other three. But because he's got something to lose and not nothing to lose for one. But he is not what's important to the story. He is like who the story follows through this important event that happens. And he's just kind of like the right guy in the wrong place that happens to like, be a catalyst for these events that probably would have occurred anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Although he frequently is important to making something happen. I mean, in Fury Road, if Max isn't there, it's
Then how much of that movie would have still happened, maybe a little bit differently with varying degrees of success and failure, how much of that movie would have still happened without Max being there?
Right.
Well, most of it.
Do you think she would have gone back through the narrows, I mean, or whatever they were calling it, like through the blockade that when they turn around and go back, like that.
I don't think so. I think Max.
She would have just been like, well, because here's the thing is like, so what made her go back was discovering that the Greenlands are now basically the barely swamplands, and it's like, that was one of my favorite parts, I think, is when she finds her matriarchy clan, they're like, oh, yes, go good, and she's like, oh, great, how much further the green? They look all confused, like, well, you would've,
it was back there.
You came from the east, right? And she's like, yeah. It's like, well, then you passed it. And it's like that sinking sensation that I felt very strongly. I was like, oh, God. Because I remember when I saw it, I was like, well, interesting. It's all swampy. They must be getting closer to where things start to get green. And then it got to desert again. And that's where she finds them is out in this desert. And I'm like, that's weird. Why would it go swamp, desert, green?
Mm-hmm.
And so to find out that it was just that was the green is, oh, man.
If it's Australia, still, which it's got to be, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Is the salt wastes, is that like a dried up ocean or sea? I mean, like how much of the world is just fucked? That's, I love that it's never explained what happened or what the state of the world is. We know it's fucked.
The world is fucked. There's no question.
There's little pockets here and there that are barely habitable.
Slightly less fucked.
Well, right? At the very beginning, they had that whole, like, gasoline at an all-time high, all kinds of wars happening, all kinds of bad stuff's happening across the planet, all sorts of terrible environmental things.
Generic bad things happened, and now we're fucked. Right, it's not important. And
like women's lib on the rise.
like Highlander, explaining it ruins it. It's not important.
Yeah.
It's the setting. It's not a...
Yeah, explaining it ruins it, as evidenced by Highlander 2.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Exactly, I know. That's how you know it got wrecked.
One of my favorite things about Fury Road is all of the stunts and effects were practical. Obviously not the storm of explosions and lightning and whatnot.
Yeah, but there might have been a little CG there.
But the
cars, the vehicles.
What's the actress's name? I just forgot.
Charlize
Theron's stunt double has a little like Instagram blog of that she's pictures of herself while they were filming the movie, and she's harnessed in under the battle rig as it's driving 100 miles an hour down the desert and they're filming.
Man. What did you say? There were like 140 cars and they smashed up half of them?
All of the vehicles are practical effects. They built 150 functional vehicles capable of traveling at those speeds which they shot the scenes. And they destroyed over half of them in the making of the movie.
I heard Top Gear was talking about like how they're like, oh, that's the body of this, like, stripped out and put with this motor and on these wheels.
The guys on the poles that are doing the boarding.
That was so cool.
So, again, stunt people, practical effects. Carr Hagerman said, friend of the show, previous guest, Carr Hagerman said, Cirque du Soleil acrobats Soleil. The L is not silent, Molly. It's Fran K's.
Merca.
The Cirque du Soleil had something to do with those. I don't know if there's any truth to that whatsoever. But
I can see that.
It was real, and that's amazing.
I think that was because they treated this vast desert like an ocean, which is what you have to, because the ocean is just a desert of water.
It's just a desert of water.
There's nothing. And for miles and miles and miles and miles, and you have to have everything you need with you. And so the fact that they use this very, like, buccaneer-style boarding party.
Yeah.
But instead of swinging down from ropes, because ropes are not something that you can swing back, as much in a car.
Sure.
That they had these bouncy, flexible poles. That was just fucking great.
And again, they do this thing that's visually interesting, but it has a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the guitar player, which is it's fucking awesome, and yet at the same time, if you're thinking about like ancient war parties, war parties would go into war with a drum and bugle corps or with a bagpipe or something like that. So our guitar player and his drum corps that's riding
that,
he is their drum and bugle corps that's playing them into battle.
That vehicle is the doof wagon. They call it in the production notes. And every single speaker on the doof wagon is functional.
When they're fighting around him and he's trying to like keep playing and he's in that big like white, he's in that like bungee diaper pants thing so he can like jump
some
off.
Some kind
and
of a
spring.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
it was,
harness.
I mean, that was everyone in the theater. Because we saw it either Friday or Saturday.
Friday night. Friday it opened,
We saw it Friday night in VIP tickets at the Icon. And everyone was just howling laughter, but in a good way. Not in that way when like when we saw Insidious and we all started laughing. And everyone was laughing and it wasn't kind. It wasn't like, oh, this is so awesome, I'm laughing.
No,
it was like,
laughter,
oh, boy.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. I can't believe they went there.
Yeah,
I love
it. It was so great, and I really especially liked, so I liked a lot of the fact that like when we got done, And we kind of sat there. And I'm like, that was one chase scene. The entire movie is one chase scene. And that is all that happens.
Oh, to One Direction and then back.
There
and
is that's nothing it. Else that happens. There is no other location. You don't go to, like, meanwhile at the palace. Like, there's no other thing besides these cars chasing each other.
And it's perfect.
I can't think of any other movie.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other movie that is literally could be distilled down into this.
Not even Road Warrior, which ends with like a 30-minute car chase.
But there's all kinds of stuff.
There's all kinds of shit that happens before the car chase.
I can't think of any other movie, action movie or other movie, where it's like, it can be summed up as it's this, I mean, I guess you could say, not even Titanic. No, the movie Titanic, you can't even say it's just one boat voyage. No, there's all that shit in the beginning. There's all the stuff at the end. There's the bookends, the frame, you can say, of them, like, finding it. So not even Titanic is just a boat voyage. It's astonishing, and it was never boring.
The guy that played Immortan Joe...
He was in the Hugh original Case Mad Brian. Max?
Yeah, he was Toe Cutter in the first Mad Max, which is great. I mean, George Miller has reused... actors a bunch of times.
Nick was saying, if you watch the Mad Max movies, especially it's Road Warrior that has Lord Humongous, right?
If you watch Mad Max 2.
If you watch Lord Humongous and you have the captioning on, the things he says are fucking insane and ridiculous. Like,
his gangs of... His
the stuff you can't hear because of his mouth.
Right.
Yeah. And the echo of the microphone in the PA. So when he's sending out his different parties of... war boys to go, you know, attack this gasoline atoll.
Mm-hmm.
He says shit like, go forth, my smegma crazies, and drive them, you know, from the sands.
It's nutso and stuff, like my gay boys.
And gay boy berserkers is another group of his. And they're the ones in, like, the assless leather chaps that are all, like, gimp masked up. Those are the gay boy berserkers.
So,
like,
we're looking forward to seeing what
Immortan Joe is.
Joe's actual, because there's, I mean, I don't know about
there's
you, but we couldn't hear
could,
at the beginning
really
at all.
But it's, and so much of it is this ridiculous cult religion that he's fucking founded that has his, like, mutant family members as a part of, and I mean, Immortan, obviously there's connotations that he is immortal or you know, undying.
The holy spray paint that they huff the holy spray paint to get ready to go out and be a, like, sacrifice.
Fucking berserkers.
So that was great, and not only, I mean, especially because, like, you could I don't. Have you ever told this story on the show? Maybe there's a story from Nick's punk days. A girlfriend of a guy that was staying at their house showed up and was, you know, in a late night talking, and she said was telling some story, and she goes, "Yeah, I was huffing silver spray paint that night. Bad things always happen when I huff silver spray paint."
It's like it's the color that's the problem, and not the behavior,
not the huffing.
It's even more removed from that. This girl my roommate was sleeping with was hanging out with some other crackhead guy ended up at our house after getting... They got picked up for huffing spray paint in the graveyard on Longfellow.
Yeah.
And dropped off at our house, where she told these police officers that she lived, which is not true. We vetoed her. And so while this girl and her two friends are hanging out at our house, the one guy pipes up and says, "Man, I knew this would happen. Something bad happens every time I huff silver spray paint."
So as soon as they sprayed his face and it was silver, like, we both just, like, looked at each other with, like, big eyes, like,
something
like,
bad's
gonna happen. He huffs silver spray paint.
Yeah.
So we got a little more time before we do five questions.
Yeah.
So should we talk a little bit about the quote feminist
the
or non-feminist
feminist controversy?
I mean, I don't even know. Is it a controversy? I mean, who gives a... What is cool about this movie, to me, some people are calling it a feminist movie. I don't know if that's accurate. What is cool about the movie to me is it's an action movie in which the majority of the characters with roles and arcs are women.
Yeah.
And there's never a moment where it's like, "Hey, check it out. We did this whole big movie about women."
What I hate is, I mean, surprising no one, women's reactions to the claim that it's feminist, which is, no, it's not, because... And the one I saw today was, when we say we want a movie to have strong feminist characters, we don't mean we want them to be violent and killing people and hurting people. Like, that's not what a strong female character means.
That's a male expression of
power.
That's
a male expression of power, and therefore this movie is actually just, like, taking the male gaze and turning it and perverting feminism into... And I was just like... Bitch, you gotta calm down. Like, they gave us an action movie with all these strong... I mean, I don't understand.
All these girls just... And they're, like Charlize I say...
Charlize Theron kicks so Charlize much fucking
Theron's
ass.
Charlize Theron's character... There's nothing about Charlize Theron's character that says, hey, look, we cast a woman in this
No!
Role.
No.
It's just like, this character is badass, and she's also a woman.
And there are women in the movie that aren't badass. There's that woman who's like... I'm sorry, I called the guy that made us prisoners. I just love him. I want to go back. And, like, she goes back.
Yeah.
She's like, sorry, ladies. Like, sorry to betray the gender, but I prefer being on the big rig with the food. And...
Except she didn't. She totally...
Well, yeah.
She totally... It was bullshit.
But she says that. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's very...
Yeah.
Like, there's lots of moments that are...
Yeah, I...
Well, I mean, The wives, I mean, they're essentially slaves.
Prized breeders, as I believe what they're referred to as.
Worse than slaves.
But at the same time, they're not... We know that's what they are, but that isn't the point of their story.
There's the milk truck situation.
And also, okay, I think this was a great point that I read about this topic, is they are Immortan Joe's prized breeders. They are... baby-making sex slaves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is an important part to their characters and the story and why they need to get away. And they use that as plot, yet they never once show anyone being raped because it's not necessary.
Yes.
Rape isn't used as a plot device. Their slavery is, and that's fine.
That's fine.
But it's implied. It's heavily implied they would get raped.
It's the one's pregnant. Rape's been going on.
Yeah.
And they're getting away from it, but they never needed to show it. It's because it's kind of a cheap... It's cheap. So, and they didn't do it, and I applaud them for not. Because it's not important to the story, and it's...
It doesn't ump the ante.
It's like, emotionally manipulative.
Yeah. So this men's rights blog... called Return of Kings.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't gone to Return of Kings...
Try not to.
No.
Oh.
Check it out. It's astonishing. In case you're wondering, why are all these feminists so mad? It's not that bad, is it? Like, this is like a... So this site... And there's an article on it. This guy saying how... Don't go see Mad Max, because if you go see Mad Max, what you are doing is you are... allowing them, your money will make them make more movies like this. And this movie is a terrible thing, and we can't have movies like this because these movies are going to ruin action movies, and they are just going to make women everywhere think that they have a right to blah. I don't fucking know. And a bunch of bullshit arguments. But the best was a Jezebel response I saw to that, which said, but these are the same men that always say it's just a video game. It's just a movie. It's just a book. It's just a TV show. Like, why are you so mad that that woman has enormous tits and her power comes from her vagina? Like,
why are you mad that Lara Croft's figure is so unreasonable or unrealistic?
It's just a
You movie. Shouldn't base your self-esteem on such things. It's all fake.
It's all fake. It doesn't matter. And this article at the end said, so which is it, guys? Does the media we consume matter or does it not matter? Because you can't have it both ways. Is Charlize Theron in Mad Max going to, like, completely neuter the action movie industry and cause all this turmoil because what we consume matters? Or is it just a movie?
It seems really likely that there's going to be an action movie. The summer's coming up. There's going to be a dozen action movies where there's not going to be a character like Charlize Theron's character.
Sure, where there's just a Megan Fox type.
I can't remember the site, but there's a great parody article that the headline is something about, you know, Mad Max is such a horrible feminist movie, it made my testicles explode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
When Carr Hagerman, he was complaining about it for whatever reason.
Jokingly,
but also,
you
like...
You never know with Carr.
Yeah, it's hard to say. But he had said, like, you know, this, you know, this and this, and all the men in the movie were either bald or dumb or violent or stupid.
I like the bald is one of the one of the things.
And one of the women on the thread said, "Oh my God, are you marginalized? How does it feel?" And, it was just, and we saw him the next day at Renaissance Festival auditions, and he was wearing a pink shirt. I'm like, "Oh shit, you're wearing a pink shirt! Oh my God, Mad Max totally took off your balls!" And he was just like, "Shut up."
Yeah,
it was. But you should go see Mad Max Fury Road. It's
seriously
fucking great.
I mean, we spoiled the whole thing. You pretty not much really. I mean, now.
How much can you spoil an action movie? That, really,
it's basically
where the plot is they chase out and then they chase back.
There's explosions and cars.
It was a car chase. That's what it is. The
there's
movie
the desert.
Is, the movie is a car chase, but quite possibly the greatest car chase.
Yeah.
Ever made.
Yeah, it's
fucking
incredible.
That's not hyperbole.
No,
there are some great car chases out there.
I hope
there.
It leads to one or two more, but that like they don't force it. Like if they can, if it's the same quality of movies, I want more of them.
Yeah, man.
If it's not, then don't bother.
I'm really looking forward to all the post-apocalyptic Road Warrior costumes that are going to be at Convergence this year. Now,
oh no, God, Molly, the theme is so dystopia this year, not post-apocalypse. Sorry.
Knighted.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for five questions. Molly, do you have our five questions?
Why, yes, I do.
Hooray!
We have five questions. Five answers from Michael Vietz from Columbia Heights, Minnesota.
Oh, back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hi, Michael. Question number one. What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
The Hunger Games. I skipped in theaters, but the more I saw promotional material for the sequels, especially the current one, the more interesting the concept looked. What looked to be a faux gritty teen drama turned out to set up an interesting setting and sequels I was actually anticipating. I've since also seen Catching Fire, and I plan to catch Mockingjay over our holiday break from work. Oh, P.S. It's like December in this email.
Yeah, right.
I tend to skip movies in theaters during prime time because the quality of the audience has declined considerably since the invention of the cell phone.
Fuck you, man. I watch movies and I've got a cell phone.
Your attendance has declined considerably. Your quality, Tim.
Yeah. That's the most recent. I'm glad they like part A, part B'd Mockingjay.
Yeah.
Because the first half of that book is frankly fucking boring and depressing, and it's totally like an Empire Strikes Back leading up to a Return of the Jedi in the second half, and I'm down with that.
I'm really
not
excited.
Seen the first half of Mockingjay just because with that kind of
thing, prepare to be sad and bored, Tim.
I will, but the point is that I like to watch both when stuff like that happens. I'd much rather just watch them both.
I'm waiting for the delicious tears of all the people who haven't read the book when they find out how it ends.
I hope just everything bad that happens. Question number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
Patrick Jane from The Mentalist.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
he's clearly an atheist and skeptic and comes at it with an insider's knowledge of the kind of false hope religion peddles. He's a pleasure to watch as you try to figure out what Rube Goldberg-esque series of events he is setting up with his seemingly insignificant questions.
He's a bit of a brilliant atheist asshole type character.
Brilliant science dick, yeah.
I loved The Mentalist. All the way up until they
almost as much as love
spoilers,
Patrick Jane.
Spoilers. Up until they caught and killed Red John, and then the series for some reason didn't end, even though it should have.
Yeah.
And so
they
did this whole thing where it's like, now we're in the FBI, and they for two limping poor seasons, which I tried to watch.
And really, how many times did they kill Red John? Like two or three times before
they
it's like the real guy.
They actually got him,
and that was
fine. But then that was great. But then then it was like, oh, now we're in the FBI and we're doing FBI cases.
It's basically like Psych, but like not a comedy.
Question number three,
what is your geekiest hobby?
I finished a master's degree in biomedical informatics and computational biology just because I was interested in the subject. It's not related to my job, and it won't provide any sort of career boost. I just had a biology degree, and I work as a programmer, and I thought, what can I do with that? To make it geekier, my eventual plan is to figure out a way to simulate molecular interactions using video game engines. That's fucking awesome.
That is geeky as hell.
That is way over my head.
That's geeky. I'm super impressed.
You win.
Yeah. Question number four, what is your favorite sandwich?
Buongiorno Italian Market in Mendota Heights has a prosciutto and mozzarella sandwich that I love. They use a baguette, porous and chewy for the bread, mm-hmm. cut down the middle with olive oil and cracked black pepper. Mm-hmm. Then they add a sizable pile of prosciutto and thick slices of fresh mozzarella on top of that. Normally it comes with tomato, but I disapprove of vegetation on my sandwiches, so I leave that off. It's a Jeremy Stomberg style sandwich.
Jeremy Stomberg, drink!
Lettuce is fine. Man, raw tomatoes just don't belong on a sandwich. I eat raw tomatoes just whole.
Today my lunch was raw tomatoes. Just delicious tomatoes.
I'm not a tomato fan, but
Campari tomatoes, just, a little like half middle. Oh my
unnecessary
God.
Wetness and texture.
Your mom's
don't.
Unnecessary wetness and texture.
Boom!
That's right, Heather. I called you out.
Okay.
Wow.
Question number five. What's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism / agnosticism / non-religiousness?
I was visiting a friend in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we stopped at a street fair. While wandering around, I ran into a guy who was handing out fake $1 trillion bills.
I took one,
then flipped it over and saw the other side had scripture on it. I handed it back and said, no, thank you. He asked why I didn't want it, and I said I was an atheist. Apparently, this was a trap, because he said, I bet you're not really an atheist. I'll give you the atheist test. He asked me a series of questions like, how many grains of sand are there on a beach? And how many stars are there in the sky? Since I didn't know precise answers to these questions, of course, how could I possibly know there was no God? I asked him how he could rule out the possibility of an invisible pink unicorn behind his couch when I was interrupted as my friends grabbed me and said, we've got to go, and dragged me off before things progressed further.
Friends are no fun.
Apparently, they'd seen what was happening, and they were afraid it might get out of hand. I'm still not entirely sure what that means. Maybe they were afraid he'd scream, there is no God, and be rioting in the streets.
See, that same argument would just, you just turn that around and say, well, how do you know there isn't Thor and Odin?
Yeah.
And, I mean, do you know how many grains of sand there are? No? Well, then, therefore, Thor. Like, I just.
Thor.
Yeah.
Thor makes sense.
Hast thou ever laid eyes upon Mjolnir?
Yeah.
How dost thou know it does not exist? Perhaps it is across the Bifrost in
Checkmate.
Asgard.
Checkmate, monotheist. I don't
Checkmate,
know.
Checkmate, Midgardian.
Yeah, what is that?
I'm going to start saying Checkmate, Midgardian whenever
That's official Molly phrase.
It's
yeah.
true.
So,
thanks, Michael.
So we've been Geeks Without God. Thanks so much for listening. I'm going to remind you, Jenny Bandage versus the Unpronounceable Acronym opens this Friday at the Black Forest Inn in Minneapolis. You can go to fearlesscomedyproductions.com, find out more about it. You can buy advance tickets at brownpapertickets.com. I wrote the show. It is very funny. I read the show.
It is very funny. I can verify Tim's claim.
And I want people to go watch it, so please do. Also, while you're online, maybe go to iTunes and write a review. I mean, what the hell? You're online anyway. You're buying tickets for Jenny Bandage. You write a review.
Put your penis down, and with that hand, use your mouse, and go to iTunes and review us. Then go back to what you were doing.
How many people do you expect
have their penis in their hand while they're listening to our podcast?
I hope a lot of them.
Here's the thing.
Like, give me a percentage.
I'm gonna say what I hope or what I think.
What both?
What I hope, 18%
of penis owners
of listeners have a penis in their hand.
Okay, a penis. Okay.
So put the penis down and go review us on.
Not your. Here's the thing. Okay.
If you can review us on iTunes using only one hand, you don't have to put down your penis.
It's true. Maybe you're really good with keyboard shortcuts. You don't need a mouse.
If I'm on my phone, I type left-handed.
On your phone, exactly.
Absolutely.
Nick holds his penis and goes to iTunes all the time.
This podcast should have
I'm
been
doing it right
three
now.
Minutes ago.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you next
Let
week.
Let us know what you thought of Mad Max.
You should title this 3 minutes of penis.
That's 2 minutes more than Tim's wife gets.
And 1 minute more than Mad Max.
And the movie's over.
Fury Road made my scrotum explode. How's that for a pull quote?
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Without God.
Right at the end there, we lost a little bit of control.